That's 318-442-7300. Robinson Family Mortuary, a family serving families.
Robinson Family Mortuary is now located at 1815 Military Highway, Pineville, Louisiana. Hours of operation are from 8 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Robinson Family Mortuary, a proud sponsor of this program.
Southern Heritage Bank is Central Louisiana's family of banks that provide that personal service in a corporate environment. Southern Heritage Bank is located 5211 Jackson Street. You can phone them at 318-561-2227. Southern Heritage Bank has a full range of services that are available, such as online banking, freedom checking, 24-hour bank line. You can phone 1-800-992-7059. And we are an equal housing lender. Southern Heritage Bank promises prompt services without unnecessary hassle. Come in. Let us service your banking need. Again, that all-important phone number is 318-561-2227.
Your life is a wreck. Your car is a wreck. Will your family be next? At Hunter & Beck, it's not about the money. It's about respect. With Hunter & Beck, you get experienced trial attorneys. 318-487-1997 or 800-448-8614. And remember, at Hunter & Beck, you get Hunter & Beck.
Thank you for tuning in for today's message with Reverend Larry R. Turner. If you would like a copy of today's message, you can contact the church office at 318-443-8715 to purchase a CD for only a $7 donation. Always remember, it's worth a trip to come and visit Christian Love Baptist Church, 3515 Hudson Boulevard, Alexandria, Louisiana.
Welcome to a broadcast of Live Big Ministries, a ministry of Hollywood Presbyterian Church in Shreveport, Louisiana, where Harry Cooper Jr. is pastor and spirit coach. We're located at 2840 Hollywood Avenue. At Live Big Ministries, we are encouraging and equipping people to live in victory every day, believing in God. We worship each Sunday at 10:30 and hold Bible study each Tuesday at 6:30. If you're interested in prayer or counseling, call us at 318-610-0068. You can also follow us at livebigministries.com or on Facebook. Listen now to a recent message from Pastor Harry Cooper. Begin with an illustration. Is there anyone here who has ever seen a circus elephant? And is there anyone who has seen a circus elephant, very large, held with just one little rope around one of its legs, bound to a stake? There's a story of a little boy who saw and went to the circus with his parents. And as he looked, he wondered and he said, "Dad, Mom, how is it that this huge, humongous elephant can be held captive by that one little rope?" The parent thought about it for a little while, and they said, "Well, this is the age of Google, so let's Google it, son." So they went to Google it and found the answer is how that they're able to bind an elephant with one rope, a 2-ton elephant with one little rope, because they captured it when it was a baby. And when they captured it as a baby, they used steel chains and they held it captive by chains. So every time as a baby elephant it would move, it could not get away because it was held by chains. And gradually over time, the elephant began to respond to a stimuli that every time he felt opposition, he knew that he could not get away. He had been defeated not because of his size, but he had been defeated because they had defeated his mind. In his mind, he felt that he was not able to break free. I stopped by to share with us today that there are many people who are stuck in an illusion of freedom that they long for, that they hope for, that they thirst for, but it is just an illusion. That when they truly get down to the root of what they think about freedom, it may not be freedom at all. And if the freedom that you think that you desire were to actually come to you, you might not be able to appreciate it like you think you will. So what am I talking about? I'm talking about freedom. When I talk about freedom, I am speaking of maybe what may be an elusive concept for all of us. If I ask any individual, what is freedom? What is freedom to you? What does freedom mean to you? What does freedom mean to you? We might say different answers. Why would we say that? Well, one, we begin to define freedom on one of a few levels. We might first say physical freedom. We want to be physically free. Well, in this country, you may be physically free, and that physical freedom may be an illusion. Think about it. We live in a country that continues to make laws. Laws are barriers to freedom because it begins to construct and tell you what you can and you cannot do. So if you have a law that tells you what you cannot do, are you free to do it? If you don't think you are not. The reality is you are free to do it. You can. I can bring a pistol up in here and shoot every person in this room. That would be a bad thing. I don't need to shudder the thought. But I could do it. I would be arrested. There would be consequences. You cannot do it without there being consequences. You can do it, but there will be consequences. Think about the very, very similar concept mentally. When those laws are impressed upon us, how we begin to respond because of the fear of the consequence of the law. Now, drastic is a law that says you can't kill people. That's not drastic. That's normalized society. It's in the Bible, scripturally. You just should not be able to walk up and kill people. That's a bad thing. It is life negating. And not only does it take the life of the person that you're taking, it takes a part of your life. A part of your life goes away with it, even if you think you get away with doing it. But beyond that, there are other laws that are in place that may not have as clear consequences or not even be right. It was once a law in the land that if you happened to be chocolate and kissed by the sun, you couldn't vote. Not just that, it used to be a law of the land that if you were a woman, you could not vote. It was a democracy. Am I right? I mean, this is, you say, where's this freedom coming from? This is the 4th of July coming up, and a lot of people celebrate freedom. And I have to put freedom in quotation marks because when the Declaration of Independence was signed, it was not for everybody. But when we think about it, we think about, whoa, it's great, it's wonderful, everybody gets to be free. Well, not necessarily. Because right after that, 1776, when does slavery end? Yes, that's right, 1865. 1863, the Emancipation Proclamation is signed. And then after that, in 1865, the end of the Civil War. So you think about that and you start saying, well, there was almost 100 years between the Declaration of Independence and the end of slavery. So the Declaration of Independence would not mean everybody was free. It says that we don't like what you're doing to us, so therefore we're going to declare our freedom from England, but it's who is the we? So the illusion of freedom, when we began to ask the question, what does freedom mean? It might mean different things for different people. And oftentimes what it means is something for me that it does not necessarily mean for you. So when I talk about freedom, I'm free to do what I want to do, free to say what I want to say, but not necessarily. Now that's one side of freedom. That's the signs of physical freedom. And that's not really the side I really want to focus on today. I want to focus on mental freedom, to free our minds. Now, the scripture teaches us in Romans, the 12th chapter, that be ye no longer conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be no longer conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your, by the renewing of your mind. What I want to talk about today is mental freedom. The ability and understanding that when we free our minds, the rest of our beings will follow. Just as an aside, there are a couple other levels of freedom that we could talk about. Physical freedom, mental freedom, psychological freedom, and emotional freedom. And those are all very real affirmations of how we can be free. Mental freedom. Language, think about it, language is man-made. Things are not created with objects are not born with names. Names are given to the object. Am I right? Okay. When this was created, what was this? A shoe? No. It was just, it had no name. It's zapato. If you were in Spain, if you were in Mexico, you call it zapato. Here in America, you call it a shoe. Well, it had no name when it was first created. It was created and then given a name. Therefore, we began to understand that the form, it pre-existed the name that we place upon it. And it is the names that we place upon things that give it its meaning to us. Think about what your name means to you. Just for a second, think about it. You say, my name is, let's see anybody. Any, let's go with somebody's name in the place today. My name is, okay. My name is Harry. I'll use me. All my life, I have been Harry. Every day. From the time I was born, I was named after my father. Therefore, in my mind, my name has been Harry. Now, if I were to use an exercise in the room right now, I would ask you for just a moment to think that your name is something else. How does it feel to have a different name? I'm looking at VW right now. Roger? Roger is your name. Roger is your name. If I call VW Roger, if VW thinks his name is Roger, how does that feel to think your name is different than the name you have been called? Oftentimes it becomes a little uneasy. It's unsettling. It doesn't feel right for you to call you differently. But in this exercise, what we learn is you are not your name. You respond to your name, but just as an item is not born, a name is assigned to an item, so too was a name assigned to you. But you are not the name that you have been assigned. And so when you think of yourself in a different name, you begin to imagine a different reality. Does that make any sense to anybody? Say not yet. Not yet is a good answer. That just means, Pastor, you got to dig a little deeper. All right. Let's say you have been called intelligent all of your life. I know most people in this room right now have been called, you're smart. Am I right? People have said you were smart. That is a label that they have placed upon you. But when people have said you are smart, guess how you start thinking? Like you're smart. Now guess how you start acting. Now guess how you feel when you're in a room full of geniuses. We think of ourselves as this, but then when you get placed in a situation where there are people who you in your mind acknowledge might be smarter than you, you no longer feel smart. But yet, because you have been called smart all of your life, either you sit in that room with all these other people who bleed red blood, who breathe in and exhale, inhale, all the same things that you do, but you might sit in that room quietly as if you had nothing to offer because all of your life you had been called smart, but you did not feel smart in a room full of smart people. Freeing our mind of mental imagery says whatever label has been placed upon me, I will not be defined by my label. And you've heard me say it before. If you look at a cat and you look at an oven and you understand that you can put something in an oven, turn the oven on, and you can come out of that oven with something called a biscuit. Now, if you put a cat in the oven, that won't make it a biscuit. Just because, although the oven is capable of making biscuits, you gotta have the right ingredients to get the right outcome. And just because you say something is something or something looks a certain way does not necessarily give it the properties of what you might think that it is. All right. So you can't put a cat in the oven and make it a biscuit. And just because someone has said you have been smart does not mean you have to act up or act in a certain way to prove whether you are or you are not. So now, many people, unfortunately, have been called certain things, have been given certain labels, and have allowed those labels to define them. Now, when someone has been given a negative label and have been consistently spoken to in a certain way, they begin to respond that way. Free your mind. Free your mind and everything else will follow. What it means to detach ourselves from all labels that have been associated with us is not giving power to these labels. We are able to act outside of the labels that have been given to us. Now that means a lot, because now you're able to pull yourself away from any label. The label of your color, the label of your size, the label of your vocabulary, the label of anything that people might have placed upon you. No label that has been given to you has to be the one that is true. It's about freeing of the mind. Now, how many people understand they have labels? Have been given a label. Give it a label. I mean, that just, we all have labels. We all have certain things that have been said to us and have been instructed to look at certain things in certain ways. And when we look at them in those certain ways, they become real for us. Whether they are true or not, they become real for us. Now, all of this goes back to the text that we use in John, the 8th chapter. In John, the 8th chapter, we have Jesus saying, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. The truth will set you free. Now, in response, this lets you know about the illusions. The people to whom Jesus was speaking said, wait a minute, we're Abraham's descendants. We ain't never been slaves to anybody. Well, see, they were understanding. They didn't understand. Because they were assigning their freedom in their physicalness. But what Jesus was talking about was a spiritual sense of freedom. Jesus was speaking to them about a global understanding that It doesn't make a difference whether or not you're in shackles. That doesn't make you a slave. It is when you enslave the mind that you don't even have to have shackles that you can be enslaved. That rope could not hold that elephant. No matter how it might appear, if that elephant decided it was time to break free, that elephant could have broken free. But it did not, because its mind was enslaved. If you want to enslave a people, you do not necessarily have to use whips and chains. You can begin by detaching them away from their history. Detaching them away as if they fell from the sky. You begin to detach them away from anything that is true or valuable about who they are, and then you begin to miseducate them. You begin to misinform them. You begin to tell them what you want them to know as if they knew nothing. And then they will respond with great jubilation and glee. Or that's the hope. But to truly be free, to understand freedom as Jesus is talking about, is to begin to understand that no matter what somebody says about you, that doesn't make it true. No matter how many bad names they call you, will not make you the bad name that they call you. You are a child of the living God. You are a more than capable. God is able in your life to do exceedingly and abundantly more than you can ask for or even imagine. You are a son of and daughter of the Most High Creator of the universe. When we understand that the essence of the divine creator is inside of us, that physically, mentally, psychologically, and emotionally, we bear the marks of the divine creator on our lives. And no matter how many times the enemy might have told us something different, no matter how many times you might have felt bad about yourself because you weren't tall enough or because you weren't whatever enough. I mean, whatever the thing that you might have, whatever the thing that is, you look in the mirror and say to yourself, oh, I hate this part about me. If I could just be this, if I could have just been that, if I could. Anybody ever play the if I could have game? I mean, it happens. I saw a guy, I think yesterday or the day before yesterday, who was about 6'7" tall. And as much and evolved as I like to believe that I am mentally, I played the mental game. I said, you know, if I had been that tall, if I had been that tall, I'd have been in the NFL. That man may never have been in the NFL, and he was that tall. Being that tall and being that big doesn't make you be in the NFL. But what I did was assign his height and his size to what I perceived my abilities to have been. So therefore, in my mind, the only reason I'm not in the NFL is because God just did not make me tall enough. Now, the fact that I was a lineman weighing 160 pounds when I left high school, notwithstanding, I just felt that I would have if I could have. We all at times can play that mental game. If I had just been a little bit smarter, I would have graduated college a little bit earlier. And if I graduated college a little bit earlier, then I'd have been able to make a little bit more money. If I made a little bit more money, then I'd be able to live in a better house. If I lived in a better house, then I'd have been able to get a better spouse. And if I had a better spouse, then my life would have been a whole lot happier. If I could have, would have, should have, but I didn't. If ifs, ands, and buts were candies and nuts, oh, what a party we'd have. If a dog had wings, it'd fly. If ands, and buts. The point here is freeing your mind. And when you begin to free your mind, you begin to understand that Jesus has freed our minds. And he says, the truth shall make you free. And then he says, whom the Son sets free, whoever the Son sets free is indeed free. So now we can no longer have to live to some negative words or have been spoken into our life. We are able to take our life to the next level. Are you excited about that possibility? There's nothing that limits you, nothing that limits us but us. Last week, I think I said, you see what you say. Whatever word you begin to speak is what you begin to see manifesting in your life. And that is true. This is just an extension of that. Free your mind. Be no longer conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, this is not magic. Renewing your mind takes work. It takes work. You will constantly be going against what has been driven into your life for so long that you don't even remember when you first learned it. Things that you have allowed to say, well, I can't do that. Why? Because I'm this. Can't do that. Can't play line in the NFL because I'm only 5'4" tall. Maybe I could have. I didn't have to let that coach who told me that I could pray for the team, not play for the team, be the defining word for my life. I could have done something different. I could have thought differently. I could have elevated my mind. I don't know what I could have done, but I could not have been 6'4" tall. That was the one thing I absolutely had no control over. The same thing is true about things in our life, what people have said about us. The barriers that we have allowed society to place upon us are superficial. They are not real. They are illusions. But understand, when you do get your freedom, it may not be what you thought it would be. Just a slight aside, when you get your freedom, you're going to have to let Pharaoh go. The Israelites wanted to be free. They begged God, please, God, free us. Free us. Oh, we want to be free. We want to be free. A month into their freedom, they are saying it would have been better for us to have stayed back there and died as slaves than to be free, making our own choices and own decisions here in the wilderness. All goes full circle. All illusions about freedom that we talk about, that we think about, you got to understand. You got to deal with what it means to truly be free. Because to truly be free means you have responsibilities. To truly be free means that thing that now it's on you. You can't use any more excuses. The man got his foot on my neck. Man stepped away. The man used to have his foot on my neck. I can't because of this. Excuses are tools of incompetence used to build monuments of nothingness, and those who specialize in their uses are seldom capable of anything else. Excuses, tools of incompetence used to build monuments to nothingness, and those who specialize in their uses are seldom capable of anything else. If you become good at making excuses as to why you are not, you'll be a great excuse maker. And that's it. No more. But you're a wonderful excuse maker. Why didn't you do it? I got an excuse for this. I got an excuse for that. I got an excuse for that. You got a choice. And the choice is from this moment on. Begin to declare who you are, whose you are, and know that when you're set free by the Son, there's no label that you have to wear that is true. There's nothing anybody says to you about you that is truly you. Regardless of what they say. That's the word of God for the people here today. Whom the Son's free is set free indeed. Free your mind. Turn to your neighbor and say, free your mind.
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 This is Live Big Ministries. Living in victory every day, believing in God. That's the victory today. The victory that you can have today is to free your mind. The victory that you can have today is to look at the labels on your life and then throw them off and say, I'm not the label. I'm not the label. Think about it. The exercise of looking at yourself and calling yourself a different name, please don't do it out in public for long periods of time. But when you're in your quiet time, think about what if your name was different? What would you do differently? Some of us, if we could do differently or thought differently, we had dreams that we suppressed because somebody told us we couldn't do it. Free your mind. We have aspirations that we tell other people and they laugh at us because they look at where we've been. Free your mind because they don't know where you're going. And they don't know what it took for you to get from where you were to where you are. All they do is see you where you are. Free your mind.
We are victorious.